Center. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at journeylifecenter.org.
I felt like going back and talk about Sabbath one more time, but don't tune me out. I believe this will be helpful. So I've entitled this, It's Your Time. Say, it's my time. Amen. God made this time for you. The Sabbath was made for you. Amen. So you remember when the children of Israel complained about their work and wanting some time off, what Pharaoh did was double the work and take away the resources. Do you ever feel like you're working harder with less? Do you ever feel like you're putting in more time and not getting as much back? Feel like you're spinning your wheels? Have you ever said, it's always something? You say that every day, don't you? It's always something. Working 7 days a week won't get you ahead. It only buries you deeper. Come on now. It's time to take our time back. And God has made a way for us to do that. So let's look at some excuses why we don't honor God on the Sabbath. And again, I'm not just talking about coming to church on Sunday morning. Sometimes you can't. But making that time, that space that you need is vital. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to help you understand it's for your own good. You are made that way, and when you don't honor that, you're violating your own self, plus dishonoring God. So here we go. How about this one? I don't have time. I don't have time. I have too much to do. I work every day of the week, and on Sunday I've got to mow the grass, or I got to do this. I just have too much to do. Well, let me ask you something. Do you have one of these? How many got one of these? Some of you are so busy on your phone you didn't raise your hand. So I'm looking up scripture. Yeah, sure you are. If you see me on my phone, I'm looking up scripture, okay? I actually am a lot. I got like 20 Bibles on here. Amen. Okay, so I don't have enough time, but do you realize they say now that the average person spends 7 hours a day on screens? That's a work day. Now, some of it might be for work. Sometimes you're watching a little TV show on your little screen, but you're spending 7 hours. And when they looked at 11 to 14 year olds, it's 9 hours. And the younger you get, the more hours they're spending. And they say now even 8 year olds are spending 6 hours a day on average on their phone. You know what? You're not busy. You're distracted. You're not busy. You're distracted. Social media is designed, I want you to get this, it's designed to addict you to it. Ever hear of dopamine? I like that word because it's got dope in it. Because, no, not because of the drug, because of being dopey. Take it any way you want. I don't care. Either way, it's addictive, right? They actually put tools in there to especially young people, to addict you to it. They do the research and they understand. You understand what dopamine is. It's what clicks in your mind that makes you want to go back and do it again. Okay, it's that addictive thing that in your mind. Dopamine is what kicks in when you do drugs, okay? And then you can't stop. Whatever your addiction is. But for a lot of us, this phone thing is an addiction, and we need to stop chasing the dopamine. And then there's TV. And they say that's another 3 hours a day watching TV. That's 1,000 hours a year. In other words, you spend a whole month watching TV every year. I don't have enough time. Maybe we need to schedule better. One thing I like to do is I almost never watch anything unless I've recorded it. Maybe you don't have that ability, but I record all the shows I want to watch, I'll record. And that way I can watch it when I want to, shut it off when I want to, fast forward through the commercials. Oh, glory to God. That's the main reason right there. I can watch a 30-minute sitcom in 20 minutes. Yes. But that's a way of controlling your schedule, because now my show's on at 8 o'clock and I got to stop everything to watch my show. No, click. Watch it when I get some free time. I can schedule my time. Does anyone understand what I'm saying? Time is not a tyrant. Time is a tool, and you need to use it properly so that you have this time you could spend with family, time you can spend with God. One person said three things. Schedule your time. Put it on schedule so you know and try to stay with it. Number two, always get enough sleep. That's a biggie. If you don't, it affects everything you do the next day, and it becomes a cycle where you just get worse and worse and worse. The less you sleep, the more you worry. The more you worry, the less you sleep. The less you sleep, come on, you understand what I mean? And number three, don't pollute your body. Don't pollute your body with stuff, with sugars and all the chemicals. You know, stop eating processed food, all that stuff, and you'll begin to feel better. One person, Laura Vanderkam, I know you don't know who she is, I didn't either, but I like this quote. She said, "Time passes whether you acknowledge it or not, but how you spend your hours determines what your life becomes. What you do today determines tomorrow." We all have the same amount of time. It's what you do with it that makes the difference. And this is what God is all about. Number two, I need to work. I have to work. Let's look at the scriptures about the Sabbath. Exodus 20, because it's worth just listening to it again. It says, remember. Say, remember. It's the only one of the Ten Commandments that says remember, by the way. And why is that? Because God knows we'll forget to put him first. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That doesn't mean you have to walk around all day. It's a day of joy. It's a day of family. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Did you notice there that God said you're supposed to work? I might need to talk to people that are lazy, okay? Come on, don't live off the government. Let's go to work. It's good to have that backup, but you need to go to work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, your male servant, all your slaves, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it holy. Deuteronomy 5 and then verse 12 says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. So reason number one, God rested and called it holy. We need to be careful how we handle holy things. Come on, read the Old Testament. They're really careful about how they handle holy things because things can go wrong. So if it's holy, you need to handle it in a certain way. And guess what? The Sabbath is holy. Be careful how you handle it. Wow. You dishonor God when you mismanage it. Jesus, help us. But there's another reason. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 14. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant, your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Reason number two, you're not a slave, you're free. Slaves work 7 days a week. There's that. So it's holy and you're free. So quit putting yourself back into bondage. Free people rest. One person said, don't make excuses, make adjustments. Make adjustments and make that work for you. They say that we check our phone, just checking the phone 20 times a day. Sometimes I'll be preaching and someone will text me. Someone in the congregation. If you got a really good point, send it to me. If I see it, I might use it, which has happened. God works in mysterious ways. That's why I check my phone all the time. Listen, I'm not preaching to you because I'm not guilty, all right? We're all guilty. But 20 times a day seems actually low. But that's just checking. That's just checking your phone 20 times a day. Listen, let your coworkers know. Let your boss know. You could send me all the texts, all the emails you want to. But at 6 o'clock, I eat dinner with my family, and I do not look at my phone again until the next morning. Just tell them, send all you want. You can sit there at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I'm ignoring you. And when I get up in the morning, I'll open everything up, go through everything, and I'm done with it, see? So, I'm just trying to throw out examples of what it is, what you can do, what you can't do. How about this number three? I'll rest when things calm down. Do things ever calm down? You know what? You know what that really is? That's procrastination. You're just putting it off. You just think that you got to do this. But listen, things never calm down, and you never rest by accident. You don't drift into it. It requires action. It requires a decision you make that you stick to as much as possible, amen, so that you can put God first in everything you do. Amen. One person said it like this. Going to church on Sunday or just putting one day for God is actually resistance. You're resisting the culture. Used to be, the culture was everyone went to church. In Mayberry, even the town, even Otis went to church. Otis sang in the choir. I think I'm right about that, didn't he? Didn't he? Who put Otis in the choir? But that was the culture. Everybody in that town went to that church that day. It's just what you do. It's the culture. But now people are not just ignoring you or saying, oh, that's stupid. They're actually coming against you for going to church and being a Christian and praying over your meals. Come on. So you have to understand, just going to church is resistance. Whew. Against what? Against the spirit of Antichrist that is now present in the world. Think about it. Antichrist as a person is probably alive today, looking at his phone. Jesus, help us. Exodus 33:14 says this. He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Wow. There remains, remember in Hebrews, there remains a rest for the people of God. It's kind of neat that according to the biblical chronology, man has been on the planet only 6,000 years so far. And Peter says one day is as 1,000 years. So one way to look at it is we've been on the planet 6 days. And God said, when I come back, I'm going to do 1,000-year millennial. That's the seventh day. You're going to rest for 1,000 years. Whew. Come on. You got plenty of time to rest. Some say, I'll rest when I'm dead. Yeah, you will. 1,000 years. And then eternity starts. And we don't even keep track of time then. That's eternity. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Listen, one of the things I'm aware of, if you got kids, I know you're squirming right now. In fact, a lot of them aren't even here today because if you got kids, you got sports. And I'm not here to condemn that. But here's what I would say. If your kids have sports on Sunday, then go and be there. Be there for your kid. Don't sit there in the stand looking at your phone the whole time. Root for them. Encourage them. Talk to them. Take them out to eat. If you're going to, listen, Sabbath isn't just about being with God. It's about being with each other, being with your family. So if you have to go, spend that time well with them. Does that make sense for everybody? And you can honor God by praying before the event and praying after the event and praying at the meal and just bring God into it when you can't come to church. Am I hitting this okay? Listen, I'm not here to put a lot of guilt on you, but I'm just trying to help you to put God first in everything you do. Amen. Amen. Number four. I should have put numbers there. I feel guilty resting. I feel guilty if I'm not doing something. If you feel guilty worshiping, you need to ask yourself the question, what am I worshiping? Guilt comes from not worshiping. So what are you worshiping? You're worshiping the idol of productivity. I have to produce. I have to, you know, your whole identity. Some people, their whole identity is wrapped up in what they do instead of who they are. And it's time to understand that we're more than just our job. We're more than how much money's in the bank. We're more than impressing the Joneses. Sorry, Charlie. I don't know why we always impress Charlie. I don't know why we do that. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you follow what I'm saying? If you'll amen me, this sermon's going to quit really quick. Thanks for pushing me. Amen. You know, God said work is good, but he said rest is holy. Big difference. It's not weakness, it's worship. You're not weak because you take time off. You're not weak because you disconnect from that world one day a week. That's not weakness. People say, I don't need church. What? I don't need God. What a stupid thing to say. It's not weakness. It's not weakness to worship God. It's not weak. Come on, guys. It's not weakness to be in the house of God on Sunday morning. It's not masculine to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not weakness. It's worship. Ah, glory to God. I see men clapping everywhere. Amen. Boy, when I get the guys to clap, we're doing it, aren't we, Ben? Amen. I haven't messed with you yet. I don't know. Yeah. I mess with him so much, I got to put him on the payroll. I got to. Amen. Number five, I think it's the last one. FOMO. Anyone know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. What's going on? Need to check. Need to see. Need to know. And we actually get nervous when we're not connected. You know, you all know I love to read history, and been reading about the Middle Ages lately. And it's funny that the king of a nation usually did not hear news, important news in his kingdom, until a week after it happened. Because someone had to walk or ride to him. And if it was something he needed to know about another nation, it could be 3 weeks. It could be a month before, you know, the Pope sends a letter to the King of England. It could take a month for the letter to get there. Now we just hit send, and there it goes. And this is the king. Most people never went anywhere. Amen. They never visited the town next to him unless there wasn't any eligible women in his town. But we're living in a world where I can connect to somebody in China right now. Right now. And in spite of that ability, that instantaneous communication, we're still more than ever afraid of missing out. One survey said we check our phones 350 times a day. By the way, you can go to your phone and find out how many hours you're spending on it. You know that, right? I don't know how to do it. I'm afraid to look. Let me get through this sermon first. But you can do that, and that will tell you something. And then you can ask yourself, did I really spend that time well? And did I leave God out of something here? That's every 2 minutes, 43 seconds. Once every 3 minutes, on average, we're checking our phone. You know what our problem is? We have too many options. We have too many choices. And this phone and our tablets, they do several things. They train us to be reactive. We react constantly. And when I say react, I mean we react with anxiety a lot of times. Worry. Oh, no. And we get caught up in this stuff. These, number two, they overstimulate us. I mean, back in the day, people, you know, the king might get a letter or two a day. Now we're getting this constant communication. We're being overstimulated by this stuff. And the third thing is instant gratification. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. We got to have it, not just have it, but have it right now. Wow. Come on, church. Constant anxiety. You know what my advice to you is? Quit looking down. Look up. Amen. I don't know why I remember this, but my mom used to fuss at me. I'd always walk home from school, and she'd look out the window, and I'd always walk like this because I was deep in thought. Even back then, I was thinking. And my mom said, quit walking looking down. When you're walking, look up. She's the most negative person I had ever met, so I don't know where that was coming from. She was negative. But I was good advice that I never took. Amen. I probably still walk like this. But now with our phones, I mean, just go to a restaurant and look around at the tables. And you got a family there, and the whole family is. And young people sometimes will sit at the table and text each other. Really? Maybe it's a secret. I don't know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're not going to miss anything. How about this? One person said, we need to power down in order to power up. Power down in order to power up. I do not, I mean, you ought to have a sense of pride about yourself. I am tired of being addicted to this. And sometimes we need to just completely shut it off. Have a basket somewhere in the house and say from such and such hours every day, we're not touching our phones. We're going to put them in the basket and we're just going to leave it there. And freak out. What's going on? What? Yes. Help us, Jesus. Here's what Charlie Kirk, quote from him. This is more than a promise. It's a posture. Rest is not just a physical pause. It's the fruit of God's presence. It's not something we earn at the end of a productive week, but something we receive because we're in relationship with the one who carries the weight of the world. Oh, Charlie, that's good. So we don't have to carry it. Sabbath isn't a reward for the disciplined. It's a gift for the dependent. Wow. Whew. It's all about, too much about procrastination, putting off, putting off, putting off what you know you should be doing, instead of making the decisions, making the hard choices, and let's resist what the world, it's really Pharaoh all over again. It's really Pharaoh trying to make a slave out of you. The enemy would like nothing, nothing better than to distract you from him, distract you from God, make you so busy, so anxious, so overcommitted, overstimulated, until you're just anxious all the time, and God has no place. Even if you came to church, you can't slow down. While I preach, you're looking, you have the phone in your lap. Examine yourself. Maybe you are addicted. Try, you know how you know you're addicted to anything is stop doing it. It'll tell you real quick. If you can't stand to not have that phone in your hand, you're addicted. Oh, it's quiet in the house. Come on. If you're an alcoholic, quit drinking. It'll tell you. If you're addicted to nicotine, quit smoking. You'll know real quick you're addicted. You could say, I'm not addicted, but you're addicted. And we get addicted to the phone and to the tablets and everything else we have. And a lot of times it's just a fear of missing out. Sabbath is not anti-technology. It is anti-tyranny. Wow. It's not anti-connection. It's about making real connections with God and family. Wow. It's not anti-joy. It's making time for joy. Ah! Oh, come on. That's good stuff. Elders, I should get a raise for that. Matthew 2:27, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's a gift God gives you. Do not reject the gift. It's not legalism. It's a gift. It's a time to rest, to reclaim, to rearrange, to receive the gift. Sabbath is resistance. What will they say about you someday? What will they put on your tombstone? You know, I tease people sometimes and say, you know, I might be doing your funeral someday, and to be honest, you're not giving me a whole lot of material. I know, you think you're younger than me. I'll outlast him. Well, someone's going to preach your funeral. Give him some material. Lord. But what will it say? What do you want it to say on your tombstone? Always busy. Always stressed. How about just, he knew how to spend time with God. He knew how to walk with God. He knew how to put God first. Wow, hallelujah. You know, if they only put this on my tombstone, and a lot of people won't understand it or get it, so we probably won't do it, but if I just like to put, he was a Christian. Not this weird stuff where everyone's claiming to be a Christian, but a real biblical Christian, someone who really lives the life with the nine fruit of the Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Spirit as well. Someone who loves people and treats people right. Somebody who doesn't act like a saint in the church and a devil at the restaurant afterwards. A real Christian doesn't mistreat waitresses. Oh, that bugs me. That's one of my pet peeves. Like, you're better than her. My God. Just put that on. He was a Christian. Just put that on there. I'll be happy with that. So, well, you won't see it. One day I will. Whatever you put on there, I'm going to see it one day. I'm going to come back and you put that on. Are you listening, Gloria? If I go before you, are you listening? No, she's not listening. Somebody take care of me, okay? Amen. Stand so I can shut up. Amen.